You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello, and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast, where you get to hang out with the experts and learn the tips, tools, and strategies to elevate your business. It is the best place to hang out, peeps, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that the new episodes are delivered to you instantly. All right, thank you so much for coming on the show today and listening to us. I am super excited to have you on. As you all know, I have been consulting with clients for the past few months. I have decided to open up a few more time slots. Yay! Yes, I've had a lot of inquiries, a lot of people, a lot of you all have been reaching out to me, and I have decided to finally make it official. So yes, I have been helping clients all this while, and if you've heard my podcasts before, you've heard me talk about it. And now I'm going to officially open up a few time slots. And two, to be really precise, I work with few people at one time, not too many, because I want to make sure that I give them all of my attention and everything that I've got. So I am opening up two time slots to small business owners. So if you are a small business owner and you want to take your business to the next level, reach out to me and we can chat on Skype or over the phone and see how I can help you out. These spots are going to go fast. I do promise you that. So if you're ready to get more customers and to increase your revenue, email me at Smita, S-M-I-T-A, at womenpreneursuccess.com, or text the word BOLD, B-O-L-D, at 38470 within the next 1 week, and I will reach out to you. So, two slots only available to turn you into a bold and fearless entrepreneur. If you are ready, email me at Smita at womenpreneursuccess.com or text me at 38470 and let's get you way ahead than where you are right now. Awesome. And I do have a good news to share with you. I am now an official Huffington Post contributor. Yay! So I've been really excited about that. You can read all my blog posts on Huffington Post, and I'll have all the links also on my website. Awesome. So today we have with us Karina Essa. Karina is known internationally as a go-to person when it comes to social media marketing. Karina started using Twitter to market products. Within 3 weeks, she had replaced her full-time income working only here. You got to hear this. 2 hours a day. Yes. Karina now owns a social media marketing company helping businesses around the world leverage the power of social media without doing any of the legwork. I have to thank her again for being up at 1 a.m. Australian time to talk to me. And I tell you, I learned a ton from this interview. But if you asked me for that one big takeaway or strategy from this interview, I would definitely turn towards a very poignant statement Karina made about building a strategic social media plan. Before repurposing content, come up with a strategic plan and put together an editorial calendar. Don't just randomly at random times throw content out. Build a strategic plan so that your followers actually are looking forward to your posts. I love that. And, you know, I myself have done that where I'm like, oh, wait, today I have to post on Twitter or today I have to post on Facebook. Actually, Twitter is easier than Facebook for me. But today I have to make a post on Facebook, so I'll just randomly post something. And I think I really, really learned from Karina's interview and her conversation that I had with her that it is so important to have a strategic plan. And that's what I'm doing nowadays. So, and it's totally working. So, all right. So let's jump right into it with Karina. And I bet you are going to learn a ton today.
Corinna. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on the Womanpreneur podcast. And it is 1 a.m. in Australia, so I'm feeling a little guilty right now.
Nothing to worry about. That's nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And you have a ton of valuable information. I'm really going to try to squeeze in whatever I can in the next 30 minutes.
No problem.
Awesome. So, Corinna, I know, a lot of us know about you. A lot of us are getting to know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what was your first ever job?
My first ever job was probably when I was 13 years old. My father used to own a newspaper, and every weekend, it was a weekly newspaper, and every weekend I would help him put all the papers in an envelope for his subscribers. So he had subscribers, so I was responsible for sticking the stamps on the envelope and writing the address on the envelope. So that was my first ever job, helping my dad with his newspaper subscribers.
Nice. So that means you learned the business aspects of it right from the beginning.
Well, I learned how to make a living for myself. I would get a bit of pocket money, and I learned, I guess, work ethics. And I learned how to earn money and manage money, above all.
Lovely. Lovely. That's awesome. And I think that's important because a lot of people tend to, the money mindset is one that trumps a lot of people. So that's amazing. And did you always think that you were going to become an entrepreneur?
No, in fact, that was not even my dream. My dream was to become a TV producer. So what happened is I studied TV production in London. I went to a production school, and it was a pretty well-known school for television production. And my dream was really to produce some of the biggest, most successful TV show. So I studied that, and I got a few jobs as an assistant TV producer. I started out as a runner, just helping out for free television production companies, and then slowly I became an assistant TV producer. So that was my dream job. Then I lost my job in the middle of the financial crisis. I think it was back in 2009, if I'm not mistaken. And it was right in the middle of the financial crisis. There was no way I was going to find another job. Everyone was downsizing. So instead, I attended an internet marketing seminar, and I had nothing to lose but to just implement the strategies that were taught there, and one thing led to another, and I started my own web business.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what skills do you think as a TV producer, really that you took over and you took it back with you into your internet business?
First, it's work ethics. It's quite a tough industry. We would work really, really hard for very little money. There's not a lot of money to be made in the television industry. And it was that. It was also the importance of working in a team, how important it is, the effort of other people, and and how important it is to borrow some brains sometimes. You can't make it on your own. So that was other things that I learned. And also project coordination, how to coordinate a whole project, because it's great to come up with ideas, but actually how do you implement ideas, how do you make them happen and become successful? So that's another skill that I learned.
Absolutely. And that's so right about work ethic, because a lot of people think that in the internet marketing business, it's easy, or there's no overnight success. People that you see that are doing so well, it took them years to build that authority, to build that following. It's a misconception where they think that they're making so much money. I think everything takes time. You just see what the results after all of that hard work.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when you're starting out, there's such a huge learning curve that not only are you starting something from scratch, but you're also learning at the same time. So I expect to be working 16 hours a day. The first few years in my business, I would work on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. For me, a Saturday or a Sunday was the same as a Monday morning. I worked through all the days and Christmases and Easter, and people used to look at me and say, just get a life. But for me, I was so consumed by it. It was my life. That was my life. And if you really want to be successful, you have to do whatever it takes. And of course, later on it becomes easier because you've set up some systems, you've automated things, and you've built a team, and you've got team members who can alleviate a lot of the pressure, of course. But it takes time to reach that level, especially at the beginning when the business is not making as much money to justify for assistance and this and that. So
exactly. Definitely. Exactly. Were there ever times where you were like, oh my gosh, this is just taking too long?
I was lucky enough. I made money within 3 weeks of trying. So I was pretty
nice. So how did you do that?
I was pretty lucky. Yes. Well, after attending the seminar, the internet marketing seminar, one of the strategies that appealed to me was affiliate marketing on Twitter. It sounded easy. It sounded something that I could do. The principle was to basically open a few Twitter accounts and then build them up to a few thousand Twitter followers and sell affiliate products. So affiliate products are basically other people's products, and when you sell them, you get a commission. And usually the standard is you get a 50% commission. Some people give less or some people give more, but the industry standard is 50%. So I used to build up these Twitter accounts and then build them up to a few thousand followers and started promoting other people's products. And at the time, it was easy because there was a software called TweetAttax, and TweetAttax got suspended by Twitter because it was a spamming tool, which it was really. So it got suspended, but luckily I used it enough that it enabled me to build my list. So even when it got suspended, then I still had a mailing list. I had built a mailing list, and I had built a big following on Twitter. So luckily, regardless of whether the software was working or not, I still had that database that I could monetize using email marketing.
Wonderful. So let's touch on two things really quick. So how does one build a following on Twitter, mm-hmm. I mean, actual valuable, good following, mm-hmm. and how did you turn that following into a mailing list?
Yes, well, to build followers on Twitter, usually the biggest accounts on social media are celebrities, right? But mm-hmm. the second biggest accounts are people who are the first to report on news. So if you're among the first to report news relevant to your industry, of course, then you tend to grow a following pretty fast because you become the go-to person for that sort of information. Because when you think about it, people follow you on social media in order to receive updates from you, in order to subscribe to your content. Now, if you publish information that they already know or have already found out somewhere else months mm-hmm, ago, then mm-hmm. your following won't grow that fast. But as soon as you're the first person who shares something really critical that not a lot of people know or have shared, then word spreads, because social media is said to be word of mouth on steroids. So mm-hmm. it all comes down to the content, what you're publishing, and not only what you're publishing, but when you're publishing it. Are you among the first people who are sharing that information? So that's really critical. And also, to build a following, you need to be consistent. You can't just post content once and then forget about it and then post mm-hmm. again. So it's all about consistency. Now, a lot of people will ask you questions, comment back, and a lot of these messages usually get ignored because just people don't have time to be 24/7 on social media. So if you have a system where you can address these comments, acknowledge people's comments and questions, then you'll see that you'll start building a bigger following faster. Mm-hmm. So it's about consistency, mm-hmm. acknowledging people who are communicating, engaging with you. That's another way. And of course, there are many other ways. There's, you know, advertising. You can do Twitter advertising, right. Facebook advertising. You can, if you have a budget and you really want to boost your online presence overnight almost, then you can purchase ads. That's another thing. But I'm more of a fan of you know, organic growth.
Organic, yes, absolutely. So definitely consistency and engagement. And do you have any tools that you recommend?
Tons of tools I have, in fact. There's so many. One that I recommend people, because people are always saying, well, how can I come up with content? That's one of the main objections I get, is I don't know what to post. There's a tool called BuzzSumo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's how I pronounce it, BuzzSumo.com. And when you type in keywords relevant to your industry, it will list you all the articles that are the most, that have been the most popular on social media with that keyword. So that's that gives you a good idea of what you could be sharing.
Absolutely.
And of course, Google Alerts. Google Alerts are great. You can subscribe to them, and Google will email you, notify you by email every time new information comes up with on the web with your specific keywords. So you can literally be the first one to report on social media just thanks to Google Alerts. So, so that's a really handy tool when it comes to generating content and finding content that you could share.
Awesome.
There's another one that I personally like. It's called Buzz Bundle. Now, Buzz Bundle is a great tool because what it does is it looks on the web for all the comments and questions that have been asked about your specific keyword. So it looks at forums, it looks at the Q&A websites, social media networks, everything on the web that where the questions have been posted that include your specific keyword. So what happens is you can log into the dashboard of Buzz Bundle and respond to all these questions using one of your social media profiles. And so it's a great way to redirect traffic to wherever you want to redirect traffic. So let's say you're in the weight loss industry and someone's asking, oh, how do I get rid of cellulite, let's say, without necessarily exercising, right? Let's say someone says something like that. So Buzz Bundle will show you on the dashboard that someone has posted this question with the keyword lose weight. You simply answer back, hey, I've actually written a whole blog post about it. Oh, I've put a video up all about it. Here it is. So you can really redirect traffic to wherever you want thanks to that tool.
Nice.
So it's a pretty, pretty awesome tool, Buzz Bundle.
Yeah. That's awesome. So do you think that if you go in and you answer questions, it's not really, I don't want to say cold calling, cold marketing, but, you know, are people receptive to that, to say, hey, that's a great thing, especially if it's giving them value?
Absolutely. And they ask questions in the first place, so they're actually expecting an answer. And there's nothing,
that's right,
there's nothing worse than asking a question that's never been answered.
And then nobody, that's right.
So it's absolutely welcome. People love it. And it's a genuine answer. I mean, you don't want to be telling people, go to my blog and there's nothing there, you know, there's no answer. Absolutely, it's very welcome. People love
Wonderful.
It.
Awesome. And everybody talks about followers and social media and everything, that's all great. And I know that it's, you know, it's so hard to convert the followers into your email list. How can one go about doing that conversion of your followers to your email list?
I don't find it hard. I think that the standard conversion for that, it would be 20%. So out of 100 people who see your free offer to opt in, then 20 of them would opt in. I don't find it hard. What is hard is coming up with something that's appealing.
Content, right.
Absolutely. To give away for free, or something to give away for free that makes sense that someone cannot get somewhere else. So I find that a lot of marketers give things away for free to build their list that is convenient for them. So they go for the easy path where, oh, you know, I've got this free ebook. You know, they don't care if the information is old or it's been done to death, or it can, you know, people can access it through whatever, Google and things like that. So people tend to just be giving away the wrong thing. So as soon as you put a bit of effort into what you're giving away, and don't be scared of giving away really good information, some of your best information at times, because it will just pay tenfold. So the key is not really about getting them to convert. It's all about what is it that you're giving away for free. If you're giving something away for free that has perceived value that no one is giving away, and that is very interesting, very useful to people, then it won't be difficult to get your followers to opt in and become a part of your mailing list.
Difference between content marketing and social media is so important, because you know, they're both a balance. You have to put out the right content and market it on social media on all channels so that people are able to pick it up. But if either of them is gone, then the whole balance is gone, right? If you don't have good content, what are you putting out on social media? So you won't get that following, versus if you have content but you're not marketing it enough, then you're still not getting followers.
Absolutely. It's all about the quality rather than the quantity. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's important for people to definitely just sit down and think about what they want to put out there. And like you said, don't be afraid to put your best content out there, because people will then know that, hey, you're worth something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the word spreads when you're known for giving the best stuff and being the first person to report on information that's really groundbreaking, the word spreads. Then what you want really is you want your audience to be looking forward to your emails, looking forward to your updates, looking forward to your posts. That's the key. And in order for people to look forward to that and also spread the word about you, share your content with their network, then your information should be really unique and really quality. And it's better to put more time and effort into the quality than just the amount of times you give away content.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about some lead generation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what are maybe some of the best strategies that you've seen that really work for lead generation?
On social media specifically, I find that contests work really well. People love joining contests on social media, and they tend to go viral more easily than anything else. So, for example, there's a company.
Do you have any examples?
Exactly. There's a company called Diamond Candles, and the concept of the company is there's a diamond ring in each of the candles, and when you burn the candle, it's all about getting to see the point where the diamond ring will appear. Right. It's a pretty interesting gimmick there. So they're called Diamond Candles, and they set up a competition called Candle Cash, where they were giving away cash that people could use in exchange for buying a diamond candle. And in 6 weeks from running the competition, they got 30,000 new Facebook fans. So it just goes to show that contests work really well. So that there's plenty more. It used to be a few years ago quite popular. Everyone was giving a free iPad, but again, it's put some time and effort into what you're giving away for free. Don't give away things because it's convenient, because it's easy for you. You might end up having a bunch of people join the contest who just want the iPad and will never ever buy from you. So it has to be something that is relevant, as part of the products you offer and has perceived value. So it has to have perceived value. Very, very important. So if you're a travel agent, you know, and you can afford to give away a cruise for free, you know that you'll be attracting people who like, you know, traveling and going on cruises. So it has to be strategic, it has to be relevant, and it has to have perceived value.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And tell me about lead magnets. You know, that's definitely one way to convert people that come on your website. And I know we talked about giving away value for sure. Are there anything in specific that maybe people should be aware of, or any tricks that they could use?
Yes, well, it's all about the funnel after the lead magnet. What happens after that? Because, you know, someone will opt in, download whatever you're giving away for free, or access whatever you're giving away for free, and that's it. And then, yes, you might have scheduled a sequence of emails, some people might open the email, not open the email might go to spam. So if you want to go a step further, we set up what we call the mouse trap, where basically after people opt in, so they get redirected to what we call a thank you page, which is, you know, congratulations for submitting your contact details. Here's access to, you know, whatever it is that you were giving away. And then the mousetrap page, basically, the thank you page is an opportunity to upsell. It's the best time to try and sell something to turn this freebie seeker into a buyer is when they've just opted in. Because if you wait a few days, then, you know, the momentum's lost.
Right.
They probably got into something else. They're probably looking for something different by now. Even if it's just a few days away, you want someone to who's really hot, who's actively looking right now for whatever it is that you have to offer. So usually on the mousetrap page, the thank you page, we offer a very small upsell. It doesn't have to cost more than $5 to $7, but it's a way to turn them into buyers. So it has more value to build a database of buyers than a database of freebie seekers. So there we usually offer a step further. We will say something on a short video. We'll say, hey, congratulations for securing your free copy of XYZ. Now, before you go, I want to share with you this special one-time offer. And what you're doing is offering another product that's just a continuation of whatever they've opted in. But this time you're just charging $5 or $7 or $10 for it. So that's really how a good lead magnet is working. Now, don't expect to, you know, become a millionaire from your $5 to $7 upsell. But definitely, what you're doing there is getting them to feel comfortable to giving their credit card away with you, so that you want to train people to buy from you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I call it that no-brainer product, right? Where people are like, okay, I've got to get this. That's it. There's no two ways about it. I love that. Are you, you know, have you ever seen any maybe surprises in your own sales funnels, or maybe something that you're like, oh my gosh, I did not know that was happening, or I should have done that?
Usually I get very surprised when I'm tracking a campaign. So I'll track, for example, you know, I'll track which campaign worked best. So I'll test different headlines, different colors. You know, us internet marketers, we test everything.
Yes.
And so when I get tracking reports, I'm always surprised. It's never what I think that is working the best, and I'm always surprised. So I always say to myself now, never assume anything. Because don't know. So I get surprised every time I get tracking reports. It is never what I expect. It's never the audience I'm expecting.
Right.
It's never the age group I'm expecting. So, yes, I get that all the time.
Awesome. And when you do testing, do you generally do like A-B testing, or do you wait for a few days and see and then change it up? How do you do it?
Oh, I do A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't go too crazy. I try not to, but I like to test things straight away, especially when I'm doing media buying. So when I'm spending money on advertising, for me, it's very important, you know, straight away if I'm pouring money into the right places. So if I'm not spending any money, it's just a campaign that's free, I'm using free traffic, then I won't bother too much. But when it's paid advertising, then definitely I test everything and I pull the plug as soon as I'm pouring money into something that's just not converting.
Right, exactly. And especially Facebook ads. I love that the Facebook ads, you can change it up and you can have so many variations and you can see what works, right?
Yes, and you love this tool. You're probably aware of it, AdEspresso. Have you heard of AdEspresso?
No, I haven't.
That's an awesome tool that allows you to create hundreds of different variations of your Facebook ad.
Oh, nice.
Yes, so you can really find out what's the best version of your ad. So thanks to AdEspresso, which is it's a really great tool. My husband is more of a Facebook ad expert than I am, but he told me that that trick with AdEspresso, and it's just amazing. You can literally multiply your campaigns and track everything.
I love that. I'm going to try it. I generally do it directly in Facebook. You know, I'll just I'll just run different campaigns with the different variations. Mm-hmm. So just keep track of it. But I'm going to go look into this.
You will love this. You'll become an espresso addict.
Addict. You know, like we need another one.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're the social media marketing guru. So let's talk a little bit about repurposing content. Mm-hmm. I feel that people do not do enough to repurpose their content. I think a lot of people feel like, oh, okay, I've had, you know, I wrote one blog post and I'm going to put it up and that's it. Tell us maybe a little bit about repurposing content, why it's important, and maybe any amazing strategies that you can give us.
Yes, well, it's very important to combine all marketing channels when you have content. So blogging is one of them, reusing it for article marketing, reusing it for YouTube videos, reusing it for Facebook posts, absolutely, because you want to drive traffic from every channel possible. So mm-hmm. I don't really have a specific tool for that, mm-hmm. apart from just advising people to, whenever they're writing content, to see, well, how many channels are they going to use in order to drive traffic to that content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Tell people, if you're writing a blog post, sit down and then take stuff out for quotes that you can directly click to tweet, or, you know, make an Instagram image really quick. And so you literally, like, with one blog post, you can have 10 different things that are going into different channels. And I think the key is to make it native, right? Whatever works for that channel, you have to make sure that it's aligned to that.
Absolutely. And what people do now is they've linked all their social networks with each other. So when you post on Facebook, then it automatically populates Twitter and things like that. Now, I'm not a big fan of that. Of course, it's better than having nothing, no updates whatsoever. But I'm not a big fan, because every social network should not be treated the same way. What you post on Facebook is not the same sort of format that people expect to have on Twitter. On Twitter, it's more mm-hmm. short messages, for example. Then on Pinterest, it's more arts and crafts people. Mm-hmm. So you have mm-hmm. to make sure that you adapt yourself to every network. So I'm not a big fan of, like, linking all the networks together and cross-populating mm-hmm. all of them simultaneously. But I think that the best way to go about it is to have a content plan, a social media strategic plan, and including an editorial calendar, knowing when you're going to post what and who's going to actually execute the plan. So that's very important. So when you have a clear plan, then it's just a question of who's going to execute it. But a lot of people, they don't have a plan, so they everything's off the cuff. They, based on their mood or whatever, they'll put something on Facebook, then they put something on Twitter, and there's no thought in, they haven't put any thought into it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of marketers don't have a social media strategic plan. I see that all the time with my company, because we're a social media marketing agency. I go to businesses, and my sales reps go to businesses, and one of the sales processes is to actually review their social media. And I, mm-hmm. when I train my sales reps, and I have to go through sometimes hundreds of businesses to show them how to review a social media presence, I mm-hmm. find that there's none of them have any strategic plan. It's just not part of any plan. It's just random posts at random times for random reasons. That's all mm-hmm. there is, and there's no thought into it. It's not part of a bigger plan. It's not mm-hmm. part of a strategy. So I think that before anything, before thinking of repurposing content, the importance is to come up with a strategic plan and then put together an editorial calendar.
Love that. Absolutely. I know there are a lot of plugins on WordPress that you could use for calendars, right?
Yes, I don't use any. I'm not familiar with them, mm-hmm. but there's definitely a lot of plugins there to help facilitate it.
All right. So if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice, what would it be, Karina?
To have patience, I guess. As entrepreneurs, I see a pattern that we usually want results fast, and sometimes it's just a question of time. And mm-hmm. I wish I knew this when I first got started. So I think it's to have patience. Everything happens for a reason, and everything happens at a specific time for a specific reason. And I have to constantly remind myself of that. Because as entrepreneurs, we're quite ambitious, impatient. We want results fast. We want results yesterday. So
yes.
So I think the best quality you can have is having patience and integrity. Always honor your word. If you want to be a great leader, you have to honor your word. If you want people to take you seriously and respect you, you kind of have to be the person who honors their word.
All right, Karina, are you ready for a lightning round?
Yes, whatever that is.
Great. This is where we get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
What trophy? Best Woman Business Owner of the Year.
Nice. I like that. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Chocolate.
Yes.
I'm a typical woman. I'm not satisfied until I eat the whole chocolate bar, you know?
Right.
So I think it's chocolate, everyone else.
Yes, I completely agree. I had that for breakfast.
So. Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yes. What are you currently reading?
I am currently reading something called The Three Pillars of Key Performance, I think. Okay. Something like that about key performance. And it's actually, in fact, all about how to have integrity in your organization if you want to be a true leader. So it's really fascinating.
Nice. And what is your one productivity hack?
Productivity hack, taking breaks. I find that I can't concentrate more than 45 minutes at a time. So for me, it's breaks, regular breaks. They don't have to be long. They just have to be regular. So if I find that a task is taking me a bit longer than it should, or when I start looking at the ceiling, I know that it's time for a break.
Right.
So I guess just 5 or 6 minutes of just doing something else, a brain dead task, or doing something that has nothing to do with work. That's important. A short regular breaks, and of course, lots of water.
Yes, yes. What is your personal motto?
I've got many, but I think the one that kind of stuck with me was, if she can do it, so can I.
Nice. Absolutely. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
I think I would have built a team sooner. When I first got started, I always had the fear, although the money was the company was generating money, I always had that fear of, is it going to last? Is it going to last? So the company was growing, but I was always fearful to hire more staff, build a team, because I thought, well, what if I can't support them? What if the company stops growing? And so I delayed that, and it cost me a lot in energy. I got burnt out just out of fear of the company not growing. And I think that if I would start again, I would have built a team much sooner. I would have trusted the fact that the company was growing and would keep on growing, and I would have built a team much faster and avoid burnout.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Karina. And before I let you go, what is the best way to reach you?
Well, people can reach me on social media. So my Twitter handle is SMW Online. SMW is for my company name, Social Media Worldwide. So it's SMW Online. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/SMW Online. Or on my website, socialmediaworldwide.com.
Thank you so much, Karina, for being up at 1 o'clock at night. And now it's probably almost 2. But thank you so much for spending so much time with us and giving us so many valuable tips.
You're very welcome.
All right. So that was Karina Essa. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. And of course, I want to remind you, don't forget, I am opening up 2 slots for my coaching. And if you are a small business owner and you really are either struggling with your marketing or you're struggling to get those customers in, you really want to take it to the next level, call me and let's get on a phone and see if I can help you out. All right, that's it for today. And I will see you on the flip side. And of course, don't forget, be bold and be fearless, my amazing entrepreneurs. Bye.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.